Welcome, FinTech Talkers, to another edition of the FinTech Talk Show. I'm your host, Patty. My guest today is Zor Goriloff, CEO of Kasisto, one of the pioneers of AI in financial services. Founded before the current AI-led transformation in 2013, now we're in 2023, Kasisto is about AI-powered experiences in financial services industry. Kasisto has powered over 100 million financial conversations with AI and have about 47 clients in 16 countries. They are an AI pioneer in financial services. They were doing generative AI before the term was even used. Stay tuned to this podcast if you want to learn what's next in generative AI. And I'll ask Zor whether we'll have AGI in financial services. Welcome, Zor, to FinTech Talk.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. Before we get into AI and what Kasisto does, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what led you to this journey on AI, specifically in financial services? What do you do? And also, what do you do when you're thinking about models and deep learning?
Well, I started Kasisto, as you pointed out, 10 years ago. I'm co-founding CEO. And before that, I was co-founding CEO of two enterprise software and cloud service businesses. I'm a software engineer by training, and back in dot-com days, I decided to start my first software company, and didn't stop since then. So I think building software products, working with customers is a passion of mine. My interest in AI and natural language technology goes back nearly 30 years now. I started my career at Bell Labs, and I worked as a software engineer, not as a speech or NLU scientist, at some of the early implementations of speech recognition and natural language systems that were sponsored by DARPA in those days. And look, I believe then, and I believe now, in conversational user interfaces. I believe that's the most natural way for users to interact with consumers, with computers. And I think the abundance of data and cloud computing power makes it possible. And what we've seen with ChatGPT, the world is seeing what AI-powered conversations can be like. We're quite excited about the opportunity at Kasisto. At Kasisto, we focused on financial services. I have to say, I don't know when you were given the information by the company, but probably about a month ago or so, we don't have 47 clients, we now have 53 clients in the multiple countries around the world. We build the world's most advanced conversational AI systems for banks of all sizes. And I don't know if we started using generative AI before generative AI existed, but we certainly were one of the early adopters of generative AI. We started working as a company with large language models back in 2019. They were much smaller and less powerful in those days, but we've built the software and expertise and have a very unique data set to create large language models. And we started working with generative AI about a year and a half ago now, solving very specific use cases in the enterprise and in banking market. So we have very powerful products and very capable team that knows how to build conversational and generative AI systems now that solve real needs for our customers in the financial services industry.
Gotcha. I think I got the client's number from the website, but maybe it's not updated. But 53 clients, that's a lot, Gore. And that kind of puts you in...
Oh, you know what? I Amanda is here. She runs our marketing. And the website data is incorrect. Let me put you on hold for a second, get really, really mad at her.
No, it's hard. Maybe we need a conversational interface to update websites too.
Amanda is doing that. That's conversational.
But that's amazing. It puts you at par. I mean, selling in financial services is not easy, especially it's a regulated industry. They have long procurement cycles. So you're in the league with some of the big guys. So definitely want to know more what you're doing and what's attractive to the banks and financial services that's kind of keep you going. So I think you alluded to it a little bit, but let's dive right in. What does Casisto do that has attracted so many financial institutions?
Well, we started, first of all, a bit of a history of the company. The company is a spin-off from Stanford Research Institute, or SRI, in Menlo Park. SRI, for those of your listeners who are not familiar with it, is one of the preeminent R&D labs in the world. They specialize in computer security and AI and robotics and many names of companies that that you know about were created at SRI. For example, Nuance Communications, that was acquired by Microsoft, I think about a year ago, for $20 billion, was SRI startup. And of course, Siri was a startup that was created at SRI and then was sold to Apple. So the Casisto was a next generation spin-out from SRI, well, that was focused on the enterprise market. And my co-founder and CTO, Sasha Kasky, and I decided to take it to the banking market. We started company with a vision, and that vision was to use AI and conversational AI specifically to democratize financial services, to help users make better and more sound financial decisions, to better understand and manage their money. We wanted for everyone to have digital advisor or digital banker. And for that, we knew that building a general purpose chatbot was not a good solution. We needed to create digital assistants that have deep knowledge and understanding of the financial services products, but also had all the security and guardrails and PII protection, anonymization that made those digital assistants deployable by banks. So that's what we focused on. And we've been doing financial services only for past 10 years, as you pointed out. We started working on consumer-facing digital assistants. We have a product called Kai Consumer Banking, or KCB, that interacts users about their banking needs. We also have more complex products that are designed for corporate CFOs and treasurers that answers questions like, what's my two-day projected ledger in Singaporean dollars, for example. And we also have wealth management product that is designed both for direct investors, but also advisors. You know, I have Apple in my portfolio. You know, what are the cost bases? Tell me about my tech stocks. And, you know, so that's what we set out to do. That's what we've been doing. And early this year, we capitalized on our strength and experience and data and IP and software that we create over the years. And we launched the world's first, as far as I know, your only banking-specific LLM, KaiGPT.
Gotcha. Now, that's fascinating. I like the concept of digital banker, digital assistants, and to borrow kind of an industry term, which is kind of more on the technical and design side, the co-pilots, right? As I see it, you're building co-pilots for kind of different banking personas in some ways, the commercial banking, the CFO, and so on and so forth. Let me pose you this question, because we kind of ponder about this kind of at a more macro level, right? What would be the differentiation? How would AI as the new, well, it's not new, it's been around for a long time, but it has a little bit of changes that are new. If you kind of roll back or go back, right, in the 80s, the moat or the competitive differentiation for banks was the distribution, right? How many branches you have, kind of, and then it became systems or reducing transaction cost. Then came the internet, and that kind of changed it to online banking, digital experiences, fintech, and all that were kind of part of that kind of transformation, if you will, kind of opening up outside in banking, if you will. Big data, AI, and all have been there, right? They have not significantly, they have been kind of operational efficiency and those kind of use cases or improving customer experience. What you are talking about is you would have almost like a human digital, well, like human, but a digital banker who would answer or help in financial decision, be it of a consumer or retailer or a CFO or a corporate CFO or others, right? In a wealth management scenario, it could be like they take the role of your broker or advisor. So to pose that as a question, do you see that that's going to be the competitive differentiator? Who has the best advisor that can do well, can assist people make their financial decisions?
This is a really good question. You know, I was sort of had mixed feelings about how to answer it. I don't know if you're familiar. I think in 2008, Nicholas Carr wrote a very controversial, maybe earlier 2004, very controversial article. It said, "Does it matter? Does IT matter?" And he basically made an
argument. I remember. Yeah.
That said that the investment in IT does not provide longer term sustainable competitive advantage for enterprises. So the question is, will AI do that or not? I'll try to answer the question, but I wanted to switch gears for a second. You know, we're doing generative AI, and generative AI that we're doing today is, as you pointed out, is designed as a co-pilot, to work in a co-pilot mode with the bankers. We are not quite ready, and I don't think anybody in the industry is ready to deploy generative AI solutions to be used by end consumers. So it's a co-pilot. I believe today that generative AI systems are designed for labor augmentation and not necessarily labor replacement yet, displacement. I think we are on a path to displace bankers at some point, and we'll probably unfold gradually, and it will start in branches and call centers, which is already happening. Now, is AI ready to replace financial advisors today? I don't think so. I think that will be a journey. And at the end of the day, does AI provide competitive advantage for banks? It does, but AI, at the end of the day, when deployed in banks, is a reflection of a bank itself. Right? I'll give you an example. There are AI systems today that can predict that someone will have an overdraft fee, right? You as a bank can choose to deploy those systems to tell a customer that they're about to be hit by overdraft fee, or you can choose to ignore it and collect that overdraft fee. And the policy choices that you make are not AI dependent. They are your policy choices. And I think how AI is used to a large extent and what competitive advantage it provides will largely be dependent on how banks want to operate and how they want to treat their customers and how they want to help them manage, understand, and save their money. So it's largely dependent on the bank. The switch and decisions on using AI are in the hands of bankers today. Now, another aspect of it, going from labor augmentation to labor displacement, and which I'm sure is going to come up here, is AGI, right? I'm going to say something that some people will agree with, some people will disagree with. There are AI optimists and AI pessimists and the AI realists. I'd like to say that in the letter. I think we're far away from AGI. I think that I quite excited about what generative AI can do and what large language models can do. But at the end of the day, they are just that, language models. I think a lot of data and knowledge needs to be injected into those systems in order to achieve like commonsensical things. Human values need to be injected to achieve AGI. Now, so I think we are decades away from AGI. It's my view. I've been wrong before, Amanda knows. However, with that said, I think we are much closer to something that I call AFI, or artificial financial intelligence. I think financial knowledge can be injected into this AI systems, and I think digital bankers or digital financial advisors can be built, and I think we are probably 5 to 10 years away from that moment where there will be digital AI assistants that pass Series 7 exam and can give you financial advice and make recommendations, et cetera. So I'm more bullish on that.
Great. No, I love it, AFI. And we had a show on AGI, and I kind of agree that we're not there. I think there are mixed sentiments. Some people think that some of the big LLMs are close to AGI. I like you say, it's just language. It's just one domain. Physics has like time and space and other things and the human things that you brought up. But I love AFI and like a measurement, like passing a Series 7 or other banker exams, for example. That's great. Or knowing all the regulatory frameworks and things. So how define it a little bit for our audience. So AFI, when will we know that we have AFI? And how are you kind of road mapping or designing your products so that they are AFI at some point?
Well, look, the AFI is when you have AI power systems that behave the same way as the best unbiased financial advisor you could find. You know, you all watch this television commercials about financial advisors not motivated by commissions and having your best interest in mind, and probably true to a certain extent. But at the end of the day, you know, you need AI power advisor that can collect a lot of information. And it's not just, you know, the amount of money you have at Morgan Stanley or Merrill Lynch. It's really understanding decisions that people make. You know, I have an example, a friend who once told me a story about her parents. And we talked about financial well-being and what it means. And she said that, look, you know, when my mother passed away, I was settling her affairs and everything was pristine. She saved money and she had bank accounts and everything was organized and, you know, it was nearly perfect because she was very disciplined in how she, you know, spent money during her life, how she saved money and all that. Says when my father passed away, it was more challenging because his thing was he was making more money than my mom, but he liked to spend that money and he made a lot of charitable contributions and says and settling his affairs and bank accounts and investment accounts was much different. And he says there were different people, they live different lifestyles. So in order to achieve that, you know, AFI, the systems will need to know a lot about the user. So it's not just abstract language models or answering questions about the rags or, you know, is this investment safe or not safe? It's really known people, you know, connecting to their data, connecting to understanding them, learning about them. So I think the AFI will be achieved in that case, because in case of this person's mom, you know, you need different financial advice, and that a financial advice is tailored to her needs, to her spending habits. And then in case of the her late father, it's probably a different set of decisions how to optimize your spending patterns and charitable contributions and investments. So I think it's not just Series 7 data. It's really understanding who the person is, what's important for them in their life. And then and that will require a lot of work and research. What we are doing right now, we're not close to AFI. We believe that that's a future we are working towards, but we have a clear vision. And that clear vision is to help users with their money, and we are building systems that not only learn about users, but learning in our context is really learning about your transaction history, spending patterns, and all that, and complementing that with large language models, hopefully to get, you know, that gets us closer to our vision.
Gotcha. And you're obviously doing that. A lot of banks are working with you, and I have a lot of audience who are bankers, bank innovators, or bank AI folks, bank digital folks. So they're all trying out how to leverage AI. And one of the questions or one of the kind of themes, and at Money20, I don't know whether you were there at the conference, but one of the themes that I saw kind of flush out is to whether banks should work with kind of the LLMs, the big ones, the Anthropics or GPT, or they should work with domain specific. I know you have KaiGPT, which is domain specific. I'd like to kind of learn a little bit or know, ask you a little bit more about that. Or should a bank or a financial institution build their own? And I think Databricks CEO was there and he was talking about their acquisition of their company, exactly. I forget their name, which lets you do that, right? So he says that would be the mode. So you want to build that yourself, so to speak. So if I kind of piece that as three different school of thoughts, right? And using an LLM, there could be patterns like the RAG, right? Which where you can have a vector database and teach it your domain specific thing. So it doesn't hallucinate and things like that. So there are ways to kind of use that. So where are you and or how do you see that evolving and for banks that are looking at all these options and partners to work with, what is a kind of a decision framework without getting into too much details, Azor, but how would you kind of approach them thinking about it?
Well, look, I will give you sort of my perspective, what I'm hearing and seeing from our customers and prospects. First of all, I have to say, when the beginning of the year, we got on the road and we decided to talk to first before we did anything with our LLM, we decided to hear how our customers are thinking about it. Obviously, a lot of things have changed, a lot of learning has happened, what we've heard that banks expect to be in a multi LLM world. What I mean by that, you may be using Microsoft Copilot for GitHub, and then maybe Salesforce Einstein GPT for sales and marketing automation, and then you would use SkyGPT for, contact center automation or banker productivity. So we believe that it will be for a little while. With that said, every bank that we work with, large banks, they are, as you said, are evaluating and testing multiple LLMs. With that in mind, the first thing that we did, we built something we call GAPI or GPT API, and it's basically a wrapper around multiple LLMs. It's a smart wrapper because for certain requests, you can say, well, I have KaiGPT for this, and then, OpenAI for something else. And so banks have flexibility using GAPI and not just commit to KaiGPT, but use other LLMs side by side if they see fit. So we did that. Then we were surprised quite a bit because the interest from generative AI LLMs came not just from large banks, but, $2 or $4 billion credit unions came to us and said, well, I'm interested in the use cases. And I think like many others were doing RAG and, retrieving documents and all that. So we built KaiGPT. We believe that domain-specific LLM will perform better for banking or financial services specific use cases. So in a way, it's similar to what Bloomberg has done with Bloomberg GPT. I think Databricks CEO is probably right, but he's right for largest of the largest banks. I mean, the banks like Wells Fargo and JP Morgan, the Bank of America, have AI talent, data, and resources to experiment and build their own. I don't know if others will be in a position to do that. That's not what we're seeing right now. That's why, KaiGPT is so attractive for some more customers and prospects. So we built KaiGPT, and I want to come back to one of the things that you said, with four ideas and four sort of key pillars, not just ideas, in mind. We said, A, it has to be accurate, it has to be trusted, it has to be transparent, and it has to be customizable. That's what we've heard from customers. Accurate because it needs to work on banking documents, and that's what we've done. Now, we create a lot of controls and a lot of guardrails, but we cannot eliminate hallucinations. And I think that eliminating hallucinations is beyond state of the art today. If somebody knows how to do it, we'd like to know that. We have some of the top minds in the industry working for us. I believe we have one of the best teams in the world working on this. So accuracy is important. Hallucinations are way of life today. And that's why we address that by, A, first of all, we're giving it to the bankers and not end consumers, right? And number one. Number two, we tune our LLM to hallucinate less. Number three, we always provide source document or excerpt from the document where the answer came from. So even bankers have ability to go click on it and say, oh, that's where it came from. So that's number one, trust it. I mean, we're dealing with a lot of proprietary documents, PII and all that. And, you know, we build control and infrastructure on that to be able to do that. Transparency is really important. What is your LLM trained on? I mean, there are a lot of copyright issues, you know, around that. So we are fully disclosed. We're telling banks the data sources and how it is trained and, you know, and then customizability. That's what Databricks CEO was saying, probably. Every bank wants to do things in their own way, at least the large banks want. And so we focused on accuracy, transparency, trust, and customizability.
Yeah, I love that four pillars. And like you said, customizability can potentially help the large banks too. If it is very customizable, then they can tailor it to their needs and their IP. As I see it, right, today the bank's kind of knowledge is in the systems and the rules and other things and whatever intelligence that their systems have developed, plus the human intelligence that work on the systems, like in underwriting or in risk assessment and things like that. Tomorrow, conceivably, those two are getting combined into something like ChatGPT, or at least a significant part of it, right? So banks have to kind of see how that evolution happens, right? Obviously, humans are not going to go away. We talked about the augmentation versus replacement, but more and
the roles of humans, pardon me for interrupting you, the roles of humans change, especially with banking contact centers. I believe that the role of human agents will change from a live chat agents and people answering calls to AI managers, AI monitors. You know, just you have a little army of digital assistants or chatbots, and you manage them, you train them, you improve them, and they interact with your customers. I think that the human jobs will change and evolve in contact centers and, you know, in with bank tellers, with bankers, with investment bankers, with relationship managers. I think we should expect those changes to be unfolding over the next few years.
Yeah, no, very, very well. And the companies and the banks, including that, evolve and understand that. So AI is not so much of a system or a technology issue as some people say. It's a human issue too, right? How you get humans to use AI to do more smarter jobs and be more productive. No, I love that. The little middleware point that you said, right? So you have the GPT API, which I call middleware. You didn't call it middleware, but it's kind of a layer in front of LLMs almost.
It's middle GPTware.
Middle GPTware, fair enough. It could be a traditional LLM. It could be ChatGPT, which is a financial domain specific language model, and it could be others as well, right? Do you see, I almost draw a parallel between how today's transaction system have a middleware sometimes to orchestrate different transactions, right? So you see kind of almost the architecture type question, the architectures evolving into that kind of pattern.
Yeah, and I think there is more to it, you know. I'll give you an example of one of our customers. You know, I think for a little while longer, we will live in the world of sort of traditional AI chatbots. We call them prescriptive chatbots, right? Where you prescribe every interaction and rule and all that, and generative AI, right? So the ChatGPT or OpenAI is generative AI system. You know, Kai Consumer Banking is prescriptive AI system. So what we found out working with large banks, that banks have a large collection of both in-house and customer-facing chatbots, right? And they provide different capabilities, different features. They also, they're built by different vendors or different departments. You know, a bank can have a char bot and risk and compliance bot, and they can have complaint bot and they can have IT support bot. You know, one is built by Amazon, the other one is ServiceNow, then Consisto. There is a universe of, and now banks are also experimenting with generative AI systems and all that. So what we've done, actually way before generative AI, we built a product called Orchestrator, Kai Orchestrator. And Kai Orchestrator is a single conversational gateway that knows how to interrogate bots around the enterprise and send users to the right place. So you, as an employee of a bank, you go to a single place and you say, my iPhone is broken. And it says, ah, we have a bot for that. And then you go in and you say, well, now that my iPhone is fixed, I'd like to go on vacation. Aha, that's our HR policy. So we built an orchestrator that with users, employees of a bank go to a single place and the bank sort of, and the orchestrator figures out where to send them. So what we did with generative AI, we also plugged in generative AI into that orchestration infrastructure. Now, if you ask a question about, well, you know, I don't know, write a letter to my mother-in-law about for her birthday, you know, we say, oh, this is not HR, this is not IT support. Let me go to OpenAI and ask it to write a letter. So this whole idea, just like with middle GPTware, you know, I invented that, middle GPTware, there is an orchestration layer that does a lot more for the enterprises.
Gotcha. And kind of staying on that thread, Gore, what about structured data? So yeah, writing a letter that's kind of generative and dealing with unstructured, but like a lot of enterprise systems have structured data. I know you've talked about this. What is stopping the current state of technology like the Kai suite from seamlessly connecting both knowledge and unstructured data like in documents or just the knowledge and structured data in core banking and other systems?
Patty, this is really, really excellent question. And I think the way for us to get our vision and the holy grail of what we're trying to do, which is really, really hard to do, and we're working on it, but the progress is slow and painful, is to connect LLMs and Kai GPT systems with our traditional systems that are connected to structured data, to your balances and accounts and transactions. Because ultimately for us to get vision is to have Kai GPT-like conversational experience and intelligent conversations about your finances, not just answering some question that banker may have about mortgage policy, you know, and about having conversations about you sort of connecting structured and unstructured experiences. I think OpenAI did some announcements in their developer day early on. They had plug-in APIs, but to me, ultimately, this is the vision. This is, you know, connecting intelligent conversations with your finances is where the magic will happen.
Yeah, I agree. And that's probably AFI when that happens, or whoever does it. No, definitely. This is great and we can go on, but we have other things to do as well. Maybe you should come back on the show and we can do a little bit more kind of a practitioner. This was kind of more strategy and I loved it. I can probably do another show just staying on this. But before we close, where do we go from here? Especially, I know we just, that was a good segue around that structured and unstructured. Maybe that's one big area in that AFI journey, if I can kind of peg it as that. But where do we go from here, AI and financial services? And in terms for you and Consisto, who are you looking to partner with in the industry? And how should people get in touch with you?
I think you're in California, you're 3 hours behind me, but in New York, it's 1 o'clock, and where I go from here, I'm going to go to dinner. That's what you want to know. Next time you're in New York, I'd love to host you here too. So sure. We'll talk about generative AI, but I will tell you where we're going from here. What we're doing, we are connecting Kai systems with generative AI systems to provide very synergistic, prescriptive AI and generative AI experience. So connecting human bankers with AI systems, improving human productivity while helping the consumers, while creating guardrails around sort of the reduced hallucinations, et cetera. So I think on that journey to connect generative AI systems with structured data, our first step is to do that with sort of human in the loop kind of environment where, you know, generative AI show their power, but humans are there to provide answers to users. And we also, humans are there to provide training data and improvements and sort of human in the loop kind of feedback.
Gotcha. And anyone you're looking to, partners or kind of obviously everything you're not doing yourself these days or companies are not, and where are you most active in social media if you want to give out to the audience? How should people?
So we are partnering with digital banking and core banking providers because they ultimately, you know, the data is stored in those systems and access to those systems. We also partner with contact center companies that are forward-looking contact center companies, not sort of the people that have managed seats and AHTs, but people that are looking to deploy technologies in creative and innovative ways and rethink how contact center services are delivered to their customers.
Gotcha. Oh, great. Active on Twitter, LinkedIn, or where should people find you?
I am not very active on social media, but sometimes on LinkedIn, sometimes on Twitter. Mostly reading, but I'm zor@casisto.com. So if anybody has any questions, I can be easily reached on my email, which I check very frequently.
Thank you. Thank you, Zor, for being on the FinTech Talk Show.
Of course. It was a pleasure. Thank you for having me.